was in the sunlit court, hearing the fountain fall. A great black bird, a raven of Oskill, came walking over the stone terrace in the grass. He came to the hem of the archmage's robe and stood there all black with its dagger beak and eyes like pebbles, staring sidelong at Ged. It pecked three times on the white staff Nimmerly leaned on, and the old wizard ceased his muttering and smiled. "Run and play, lad," he said at last, as to a little child. Ged knelt again on one knee to him. When he rose, the archmage was gone. Only the raven stood eyeing him, its beak outstretched as if to peck the vanished staff. It spoke, in what Ged guessed might be the speech of Oskill.
"Terranon Osbeck,"
it said, croaking.
"Terranon Osbeck Horek!"
And it strutted off as it had come. Ged turned to leave the courtyard, wondering where he should go. Under the archway he was met by a tall youth who greeted him very courteously, bowing his head.
"I am called Jasper, Enwit son of the domain of Eolg on Havnor Isle. I am at your service today to show you about the great house and answer your questions as I can. How shall I call you, sir?"
Now it seemed to Ged, a mountain villager who had never been among the sons of rich merchants and noblemen, that this fellow was scoffing at him with his service and his sir and his bowing and scraping, and he answered shortly, "A Sparrowhawk, they call me." The other waited a moment, as if expecting some more mannerly response, and getting none, straightened and turned a little aside. He was 2 or 3 years older than Ged, very tall, and he moved and carried himself with stiff grace, posing, Ged thought, like a dancer. He wore a gray cloak with hood thrown back. The first place he took Ged was the wardrobe room, where, as a student of the school, Ged might find himself another such cloak that fitted him and any other clothing he might need. He put on the dark gray cloak he had chosen, and Jasper said, "Now you are one of us." Jasper had a way of smiling faintly as he spoke, which made Ged look for a jeer hidden in his polite words. "Do clothes make the mage?" he answered, sullen. "No," said the older boy, "though I have heard that manners make the man." "Oh, where now?" "Oh, where you will. I do not know the house." Jasper took him down the corridors of the great house, showing him the open courts and the roofed halls, the room of shelves where the books of lore and rune tomes were kept, the great hearth hall where all the school gathered on festival days, and upstairs in the towers and under the roofs, the small cells where the students and masters slept. Ged's was in the south tower, with a window looking down over the steep roofs of Thwiltown to the sea. Like the other sleeping cells, it had no furnishing but a straw-filled mattress in the corner. "We live very plain here," said Jasper, "but I expect you won't mind that." "I'm used to it." Presently, trying to show himself an equal of this polite, disdainful youth, he added, "I suppose you weren't when you first came?" Jasper looked at him, and his look said without words, "What could you possibly know about what I, son of the lord of the domain of Eolg on the Isle of Havnor, am or are not used to?" What Jasper said aloud was simply, "Come this way." A gong had been rung while they were upstairs, and they came down to eat the noon meal at the long table of the refectory along with 100 or more boys and young men. Each waited on himself, joking with the cooks through the window hatches of the kitchen that opened into the refectory, loading his plate from great bowls of food that steamed on the sills, sitting where he pleased at the long table. "They say," Jasper told Ged, "that no matter how many sit at this table, there is always room." Certainly there was room, both for many noisy groups of boys talking and eating mightily, and for older fellows, their gray cloaks clasped with silver at the neck, who sat more quietly by pairs or alone, with grave, pondering faces, as if they had much to think about. Jasper took Ged to sit with a heavy-set fellow called Vetch, who said nothing much, but shoveled in his food with a will. He had the accent of the East Reach and was very dark of skin, not red-brown like Ged and Jasper and most folk of the archipelago, but black-brown. He was plain, and his manners were not polished. He grumbled about the dinner when he had finished it, but then turning to Ged said, "At least it's not illusion, like so much around here. It sticks to your ribs." Ged did not know what he meant, but he felt a certain liking for him, and was glad when, after the meal, he stayed with them. They went down into the town, that Ged might learn his way about it. Few and short as were the streets of Thwill, they turned and twisted curiously,
Among the high-roofed houses, and the way was easy to lose. It was a strange town, and strange also its people, fishermen and workmen and artisans like any others, but so used to the sorcery that is ever at play on the Isle of the Wise that they seemed half-sorcerers themselves. They talked, as Ged had learned, in riddles, and not one of them would blink to see a boy turn into a fish or a house fly into the air. But knowing it for a schoolboy prank would go on cobbling shoes or cutting up mutton, unconcerned. Coming up past the back door and around through the gardens of the great house, the three boys crossed the clear-running Thwilburn on a wooden bridge and went on northward among woods and pastures. The path climbed and wound. They passed oak groves where shadows lay thick for all the brightness of the sun. There was one grove not far away to the left that Ged could never quite see plainly. The path never reached it, though it always seemed to be about to. He could not even make out what kind of trees they were. Vetch, seeing him gazing, said softly, "That is the imminent grove. We can't come there yet." In the hot, sunlit pastures, yellow flowers bloomed. "Sparkweed," said Jasper. "They grow where the wind dropped the ashes of burning Ilion, when Ereth Akbe defended the inward isles from the Fire Lord." He blew on a withered flower head, and the seed shaken loose went up on the wind like sparks of fire in the sun. The path led them up and around the base of a great green hill, round and treeless, the hill that Ged had seen from the ship as they entered the charmed waters of Roke Island. On the hillside, Jasper halted. "At home in Havna, I heard much about Gauntish wizardry and always in praise, so that I've wanted for a long time to see the manner of it. Here now we have a Gauntishman, and we stand on the slopes of Roke Knoll, whose roots go down to the center of the earth. All spells are strong here. Play us a trick, Sparrowhawk. Show us your style." Ged, confused and taken aback, said nothing.
"Later on, Jasper," Vetch said in his plain way. "Let him be a while."
"Well, he has either skill or power, or the doorkeeper wouldn't have let him in. Why shouldn't he show it now as well as later, right, Sparrow?"